So we discussed the Mishnah here on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and we began the Sugyas HaGemara, and we got up to the following, Meisve. So let's see if we can find the third of the wide lines on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Meisve. You have that? So let's just remind ourselves what we know. We have machlokas here between Rabbi Elazar, Reb Shimon, and Rebbe. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon understands that when the Torah says with regard to a chatos, and this is in Vayikra Dalet, that the matan damim has to be, and I quote the pasuk, "V'lakach haKohen midam haChatos beEtzpa'o, v'nasan al karnos mizbach haOla." So Rabbi Elazar, Reb Shimon takes this pasuk literally, and he requires that the nesinas hadam, in the case of a chatos, be al karnos hamizbech, on the keren. And we discussed the fact that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the keren is one entity; anywhere on the keren is fine. And then we have the sheet of Rebbe. Rebbe is willing to expand our definition of keren, and there's going to be a machlokas. Two understandings of Shitas Rebbe. That's Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. We don't know who says what, but one opinion has it that you take an area below the Keren, which is an Amma by an Amma. The Keren is an Amma by an Amma. So you go down below the Keren itself, and that's considered Rishus HaKeren. That's an extension of the Keren. That's one a way of interpreting Rebbe. The other way of interpreting Rebbe is that you need what's called chudo shel keren, which means that's the zavis, the 90 degree angle, the exact spitz of the keren, and that is considered v'nasan al karno samizbeach. And now the Gemara asks the following question, Meisvei. So Rabbi Moshe, our first goal for today is to just cover some ground, and then Mirtz Hashem, we'll see if we can divide up the time. Maybe we'll do some Gemara and then some Iyun, and then again some more Gemara and some Iyun. We'll see how it works out. Here's the Braisa. It says the following: Chatos Hatzibur VaYochid. So basically, the Braisa opens up by telling us that I'm going to give you a general definition that would apply to all chatos, whether they belong to the tzibur or they belong to the yachid. Ketzad matan domon, and I'm going to try to describe to you, says the Rice, that's my goal, exactly step by step how you do the matan domim and you fulfill this mitzvah of nesina al hakeret. So it says the following: Hoya olal kevesh. So the kohen is going up to kevesh. Upana La Sovev, right? Remember, the Sovev was that higher little ledge where he could walk around the Mizbeach so that he could put the Dam on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Ubalo, first he comes, when he gets to the top of the Kevesh, and he's walking on the Sovev, to the Keren Dromis Mizrachis. That's the first corner of the Mizbeach that he's going to encounter in his way around towards the... He's turning now towards the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. And here we have something very unique in the next three words with regard to chatos. What we're about to learn now applies exclusively to a chatos. You know, we have a whole constellation of zvachim, but only one category of karbonos requires the following: Tovel b'etzba'o hayimonis. He's going to do a matan domim with his finger, which would be aclassical or atypical. What would be typical?
Yeah, from a mazrek.
Correct. The dam is in the mazrek and he throws it onto the mizbeach. Here, the dam is in the mazrek, but that's only holding on as receptacle to the dam. Now he dips his finger, and we'll see exactly which finger and how he does this, into the dam. And his finger is going to go right onto the Mizbeach. You know, he's not doing any Zrika, he's doing what you'd call Nesina. So we're going to try to understand as we go along. Don't ask me any questions now because I don't know the answers to your question, but a fundamental difference between the following two concepts, Nesina and Hazah. Okay, so keep those two words in mind as we go through this sugya. So we're learning the sugya now of Nesinas Damim, and the brisa that we're learning requires which hand? That's not going to surprise us.
The right hand.
But which finger does it require? Also the right finger. Now what does that mean, the right finger? We're talking here about the forefinger. The forefinger is not really the right finger. So the word Yamanis here should be taken in a more, shall I say, conceptual or abstract way. It doesn't necessarily mean on the right side, it means on the strong side or on the important side. So the word Yamin always refers to the strong side. The left is called the weaker side, so to speak. And it's called Miyumenes Shebiyamin. In other words, why is it, what's so significant about the forefinger? Apparently that's the finger that most people use to do whatever they do. Hopefully constructive, but they use it also for destruction too, if you know what I mean, the trigger finger, as you call it. Okay, now he's taking this finger, which is called Miyumenes Shebiyamin. Miyumenes means it's well trained, it's used for many different malachos, and it's right next to what's called the agudal. Agudal is the thumb. And the agudal is also going to play a role now, as we'll see. The main Nesinas Dam is with the Etzba Hayimonis, which is the forefinger on the right hand. But the agudal, the thumb, is also going to play a role, as we'll soon see. So what is he doing now? He dips his forefinger into the Mizrak, into the receptacle, and he takes out Dam. He takes out Min Adam Shebi Mizrak. Okay, so one of the questions we're going to have to address, I'm not ready now yet, I'm just putting it out there, is how much Dam is he going to take out of the Mizrak? Meaning, he's not going to be able to get all the Dam out in one, you know, in one dipping. Does he have to continuously dip his finger until finally, after he does one Nesina and another Nesina and another, he finally ends up with an empty receptacle? Or, for example, maybe he needs to leave some Dam over for the Shvicha Shiraim. All this we have to see as we go along. And the Mishnah now describes how he positions his fingers. And it says, Vechomer. That's a verb, the noun of which is Chamar Chet Mem Resh. And the Hebrew translation is Mekavitz. Mekavitz means when you have something flat, and you, how would you say in English, you roll it up.
Compress,
what do you say?
Compress it.
To compress it?
Squeeze it?
Okay, but lekavets here means that his finger goes like this, if you're following what my picture in the air, right? That's lekavets. And begudlo milamala. Okay, that's the easy part. Begudlo milamala. The next part is a little bit more challenging. Betzbo aktana milamata. But begudlo milamala means the following: that he's got the agudol, and the agudol is moving upwards. So follow this if you can. The forefinger is mekuvats, and the thumb is moving upwards. That's called lamala, in an upward position. And that's going to give his finger a little bit more of a force as it goes down. Not only that, he takes etzbo haktana milamata. So I guess what's going on here is, you see, I'm not sure there's going to be a machlokas rishonim here. I like the Rambam shita a little bit better here, but Rashi shita is etzbo haktana means the pinky. I'm not sure exactly why the pinky is going to. What do you say?
How'd you get that round?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. It's easier for me to understand the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is talking about the middle finger. So the middle finger is going to come from top to the bottom. You follow? So the thumb is going from the bottom up towards the top. And basically what he's doing is he's sort of sandwiching, if you will, his forefinger in between Espa Ketana, whatever that is. The Rambam is going to have a hard time with the text Espa Ketana, because the Mishnah assumes that the Rambam has a different Girsa in Agamara. He doesn't have the words Espa Ketana. And the thumb on the bottom. Okay then? So yeah, this is the way the Rambam would have it at least. And Rashi somehow is literally taking it to mean the Espa Ketana. And then what does he do? Now he pushes the dam with his etzba, with his forefinger, so that the dam on his forefinger goes down the mizbeach. Okay? Now we're going to soon see that Rashi seems to indicate that there's a direct contact between his forefinger and the mizbeach. And that's why I pointed out to you before that the context here is the Sina, not Hazah, because in Hazah there's always by definition a distance between the dam and the mizbeach.
Why does he need the thumb if he's just going to put
why
the
what?
Blood? He's putting the blood on this, on the Karen, like that, or
That's what I'm not sure. You know, that's what we have to see today. Umechate v'yored. Now, mechate v'yored, if it means direct contact. Mendel, if we assume it, again, I have to prove this to you. Don't believe me for a minute. But if I prove to you that there's direct contact between his finger that's now full of dam and the mizbech itself, then the word machate viyore, those words mean that he's literally touching the mizbech. We'll have to see exactly where on the mizbech. And he's sort of moving his finger with the dam downwards, in a downward movement on the mizbech itself. Now, where is it? So this is the surprising part of our braisa, and this is the part that you want to emphasize. Keneged chuda shel keren, it's chuda shel keren. Now, the very fact that we're talking about chuda shel keren means two things. Number one, the keneged means we're not on the keren itself, so whose shita is not being reflected here? We have to put on the side the shita of whom? Who is the one who says that you need the keren itself? Here it says keneged chuda shel keren.
I thought we didn't know which
mandavra. No. You're a step ahead of me. Well, I'm going back to the tannaim themselves. Remember, we had two tannaim. One was Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. I called him Rabashkin, right? Rabash, right? There was the Rabash, and then there was the sheet of Rebbe. One of those two shitas, I'm just testing you, you'll probably 50% your chance to get the right answer. One of those two shitas holds that you need Karen Mamash. Right? Who's that? That's Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Okay, so we're not going according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon in this brisa. Because the brisa says Keneged Karen. Okay, which part of the Karen we'll get to in a second, but it says Keneged Karen. The phrase Keneged Karen means below the Karen. Okay. Now Shmuel, we're ready for your machlokas. We're up to Rebbe's shita. Rebbe says you don't need the keren. You're down below the keren, on the top part of the mizbeach, above the chutas sikra, as we discussed. But where are you? Are you anywhere one amah this way or one amah this that way below the keren? No, it says keneged what? Chuda shel keren. So that's the mandiyomer who says that according to Rebbe, we require chuda shel keren. And that's why this Gemara starts with the word Mesvei, because this is going to be a difficulty according to that Mandiomer, that unknown, unidentified Amora, whether it's Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Yochanan, who would maintain that according to Rebbe, and this Braisa definitely reflects the Shita Rebbe, all you need is Amma this way, Amma that way. You don't need Chuda Shel Keren. This Braisa seems to assume that you need Chuda Shel Keren. And Chuda Shel Keren now becomes the replacement for the Keren itself. So we have two categories in the Mizbeach now, as far as the Sinas Dam Chatos. You have the Keren, anywhere on the Keren itself, on all sides. And then you have below the Keren, another Keren, it's like a substitute or a replacement Keren, which is called Chuda Shel Keren. And the Chuda Shel Keren is now a definition of a Keren. Because Rabbi said, what does the word Keren mean?
A corner.
So we're saying now, not what we said before, according to one of the two Mandiyomrim in Rebbe, that there's a certain area below the Keren that has the Din of Rishus HaKeren. And it's an extension of the Keren. No, now we have a replacement for the Keren. We have a new definition of Keren. Keren doesn't mean that physical body that's located on all four corners of the Mizbeach, on the top, on the Gag HaMizbeach. No, the word Keren means the corners of the Mizbeach. And the corners of Mizbeach are four corners going up and down. Again, you can't go too far down because it's got to be Lamala. We're talking about Chatos. But up until the Chut HaSikra, anywhere in Chuda is called Karen. So a whole new definition of Karen. Not to replace, not to undermine the original definition of Karen. The original definition of Karen gives me that whole area on top which is called the Karen. But now our definition of Karen is Chuda Shel Karen, which means the Chuda, which means the 90 degree angle on all four sides of his back.
Was there not a discussion last week on Thursday that the Chuda is an extension of the Karen, including the Karen itself? Unless I misunderstood that.
Yeah, there were different possibilities. Let me just think if I could jolt my memory here, because it's been a long weekend. You know, let me just think. Chuda Shel Karen. I don't know if I have the time now to go over that now, but I think this simple way, sort of the intuitive way of understanding Chuda Shel Karen, is that's a zavis. Karen means a zavis, and the zavis in the mizbeach is called the Karen. You know, I'm saying A equals B, B equals A. I mean, it's a transitive law. You could call the Karen a Zavis, you can call a Zavis the Karen, you know, depending upon whether you're working with the biblical term or your translation of the biblical term. But it's a whole new definition of Karen. And that's one man the Yomer in Rebbe. And the Braisa concludes by saying, V'chein b'chol Karen u Karen. Which means that you have a choice of any of the four chronos. But again, we're going to talk about matan arba. So if you want to do a matan arba, then you're going to have to do it on every single keren. So again, let's just go over the mathematics of this sugya. The Gemara points out that this Yerushalmi could not possibly reflect the sheet of Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, because he does not require chuda shel keren. He says it's got to be the keren itself. And any part of the Karen is fine. So this Braisa must, by definition, by process of elimination, reflect the sheet of whom? Of Rebbe. And yet, according to Rebbe, this Braisa is requiring Dafka Keneged Chuda Shel Karen. And that means we're up to the second Man Yomer and the two Sheetos in the Amoraim about Rebbe. So the Gemara answers no. In truth, Rebbe would hold the Amma Hasmucha Le Karen is fine. You can go an Amma to the right, an Amma to the left. And that's okay. Either Braisa says explicitly, Machate v'yored keneged chudo shel keren, hachi kamer. This is what the Braisa has in mind. Mitzvah bechuda, and we'll add the word shel keren, meaning, although we certainly, according to Rebbe, in this particular opinion of Rebbe, would allow anything below the Karen on an Amma this way and an Amma that way, but l'chatchila, if we want to do the mitzvah the perfect way, then it should be chuda shel Karen. Now this is a brand new breakthrough here. The Gemara now is finally telling us that there may be different levels. There's a l'chatchila level, the way it should be done ideally. There's a b'dieved level. And the Gemara is telling us that even if I allow, according to Rebbe, below the Karen, an Amma this way and an Amma that way, but that's only b'dieved. That's only the fallback position. L'chatchila, if all things were perfect, even according to that Man D'Yomer, you would need Chuda Shel Karen. So it comes out like this, that the whole machlokas between the two Man D'Yomerim here in Rebbe is the following. One Man D'Yomer says that Chuda Shel Karen is absolutely critical, according to Rebbe. Again, unless you're up on the Karen itself. But if you're not up on the Karen, and you're on this area which we're defining as a second possibility of Karen, then if you're on the Mizbeach, according to Rebbe, it's got to be Chuda Shel Karen, and only Chuda Shel Karen. The other Man D'Yomer says no, that L'chatchila, I agree with you, that it should be Chuda Shel Karen, and that's the ideal requirement, but B'dieved, it could be okay anywhere in an Amma Mizen and Amma Mizen. Now we have a little bit of a problem here. If you have the Masifta, take a look in the footnote number Chaf Ches. Shmuel, you have the Masifta, right? So see if you can find footnote Chaf Ches over there. Do we have another copy? We should.
I didn't get it before Shior, but I have.
Okay, if you have it.
Well,
it's a very long piece. I just want to get out of this like just two lines. So that even if you don't have the masift in front of you, you know, for those who don't have it, you'll be able to.
What number is this?
This is Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. You'll see a little bays. In, you're on the right page. I can tell because you have a diagram on the bottom, yeah. Right?
No, but Chafchet isn't that long. It's the machloket about Rashi and Rambam.
Yeah. So it, I don't know. It's pretty long in mine. It goes all the way to the next page in mine. Chafchet 28. I don't have Chavten on this page. I have Chavten on the next page.
Maybe there's different versions.
Could be.
Uh-oh.
Quite possible. You know, we're in trouble. Yeah, right.
They got updated too, huh?
Yeah, I don't know who has the updated one. But again,
I have a very long one, Chavten.
Yeah.
The Maskan Hagmora.
So yes, yeah, it, and that goes on to the next page. Yeah, so yeah, Shmuel has the
problem here.
Shmuel
yeah.
has the.
It's got the picture
here.
Yeah. Chavten.
The left of the diagram.
No, over here it's Chavten.
You want to see?
Yeah, but what's the content? Maybe they just made a mistake. Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing. They just made a mistake.
What? There's Chavten.
No, but the same. The content's the same. It should be.
Turn the next page.
There's a printing error.
It's printing error. Turn the next page.
Okay. Yeah, the content's the same.
Shmuel, yeah. What's the next? If you turn the page, what's the next number? It will say Chavten.
No, Lamed. Is your next one?
Ah, right? So then it's not a printing error. It's a different printing. It's a different.
Amazing.
It's definitely a different printing. We've now concluded that all of our tools
have versions with different pages.
Exactly. Yes, different. So that's really very comforting to know that we're never on the same page. Anyway. So for you it'll be Shmuel. For you it'll be Chavtet, and for us it'll be Chavchet.
No problem.
But hopefully it's the same. But again, I don't want to go through this very long. He has a long Megillas Esther here. Maybe it's as long as Kohelis even, but we'll just do a few points here. He says the following, that just to summarize, the final conclusion of this Gemara is that everybody agrees within the context of Rebbe that l'chatchila we need chuda shel keren. The machlokas is going to be, according to Rebbe b'di'eved, can you accept ama elech, ama elech, one ama on each side. Well, now he has a major breakthrough. And he wants to go back to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, if you remember, requires the Keren itself. On the physical Keren, on top of the Mizbeach. He says, supposedly we assume, this is a logical possibility, that even Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon might have halacha of Chuda Shel Keren. Which means the following, that even according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, l'chatchila, in the ideal scenario, when you're doing this, the Nesinas Adam V'chatas on the Keren, you should do it on the Zavis of the Keren, on the Chudashal Keren. And therefore, it comes out that this Brisa L'maskana might even reflect the Sheet of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Meaning, now that you've offered a breakthrough, that there's a difference between l'chatchila and b'di'eved, we can now... You know, we can now revisit this brisa and interpret it as referring to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. It's authored by Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, and even Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, within the context of the Keren, would require l'chatchila what? Chuda shel Keren. And he goes on to say that Rashi himself says no, that this brisa reflects the sheet of Rebbe and not the sheet of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. But the only thing is that Rashi is really at the beginning of the sugya. It could be l'maskanas ha-sugya. Rashi might agree that after we have this big chiddush here, there's a difference between l'chatchila b'di'eved. Maybe Rashi would also admit that this brisa could reflect the shita of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Now all this is before we see the Rambam. The Rambam in Maisa Karbonis Perkei writes the following: U'mechate v'yored k'neged chuda shel keren. V'yimnasan samuch l'keren kiper. And he quotes here a sefer called the Yad David. I'm not familiar with it. And the Yad David says that according to the Rambam, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Again, the Kesef Mishnah has a different understanding of the Rambam. But according to this particular understanding of the Rambam is accepting the sheet of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. And here's the kasha. If it's Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, then where is the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon and Rebbe? Because the Rambam says the following. The Rambam writes that machate v'yored k'neged chuda shel keren, V'im nasan samach l'keren kiper. Now, what does that mean, samach l'keren? Does that phrase in the Rambam mean samach l'chudash l'keren? No, the Rambam sort of, you know, he leaves us in a cliffhanger. He starts by saying that you need chudash l'keren. And then he says, but if not said samach l'keren, kiper. Now, if that means samach l'chudash l'keren, then I understand clearly what the machlokas is between Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon requires l'chadchila keneged chudash l'keren, but b'di'eved, anywhere on the keren. Meaning any part that's samach l'chudash l'keren, but it's always on the keren. However, again, he's quoting this Yad David. The Yad David assumes that on the one hand, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and on the other hand, the Rambam says that l'chadchila you need chudash l'keren, b'di'eved, and that's what the Rambam says, v'yim nosan samach l'keren kiper. Samach l'keren kiper. That means ama al ama below the keren. And if that's how the Rambam understands Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that's exactly the sheet of Rebbe, because both Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon agree that l'chadchila you should be putting the dam keneged chudash al keren, but for the eved ama and ama is enough. So this is a very difficult understanding of the Rambam. Again, just to summarize the footnote, for our purposes, he says that there's a bilbul here, there's a total confusion here about two points. Point number one is the Rambam actually passing like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? And point number two, Imtim Tzolomar, that he's passing like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, what does the Rambam mean? Is the Rambam saying that l'chadchila you need chudash al keren, but the evad and ama and ama, samach l'keren is fine? That is identical with the Shita of Rebbe, and we end up with a null set. There's no machlokas here between Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Very difficult. In any event, getting back to the Gemara, Hachikomer mitzvah bechuda shel keren. Again, I added the word shel keren. But i'avad, if b'di'eved, what he did was he put the dam ama elif v'yama elif less one ba, and the carbon is kosher. So again, I have a lot more on my agenda for today in the Gemara, but what I'm going to ask you to do is leave the Gemara open, try to remember where we're up to, if you can make a little note of it, you know, on the page, a little dot if you add. And now, I want to show you something here in the Nefesh Tova. Michael, just want to make sure we understand each other. When we talk about the edge, we mean the chuda shel keren.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. Because the keren itself is on top, that's the whole area one arm length. Okay. Now, what the Nefesh Tova tells us to do here is to read the Braisa one more time. So what I'm going to ask you to do is open up the Nefesh Tova, but at the same time, open up the Braisa that we studied today, starting with the word Mesme on line 3. And if you skip down to the end of this Braisa, you should underline, either physically or in your mind, the following four words. Ad shemachala kol hadam shebe'etzba. You see those words?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna just tell you where it is on the daf. It's one. How many lines down is it? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 lines down from the wide lines, right? Ad shemachala. The first word in the line should be shemachala. Do you see such a line? Ad shemachala kol adam shebe'etzba. Now, truth be told, we were so focused on the, you know, the calculations here about what's Karen and Chudash al Karen and is this Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, is this Rebbe and which sheet in Rebbe, that we completely overlooked those words. Those words seem to indicate Ad shemachala kol adam shebe'etzba. That means that he should make sure that this Nesina, he should be tovel etzba, and then put the dam on the, in this case, the Braisa says, chudashel shel keren. and he should be left with absolutely no dam left. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the Nefesh Tova wants to know why. Why is that so? Did we ever find such an absolute requirement that he has to use all the dam? But again, keep in mind, we're not talking about all the dam in the Mizrak. Right, there's still dam left in the Mizrak. Obviously, he's going from one keren to the other, so he can't use up in one keren all his dam, and then we need Shvicha Shirayim. But it's Kol Adam Sheh Be'etzva, which means he dips his finger into the Mizrak, and now he has to make sure that all the dam that's on his etzva gets onto the Mizbeach. So he asks the following question. He says, based on various Gemaras, especially Masechet Yoma, there's a halacha called Kol Shehu. As far as dam is concerned, you could be Yotzei and the Sinas dam on the Mizbeach, but the Kol Shehu, very interesting, Kol Shehu is the smallest amount. So why is there a halacha of Ad Sheyichal Es Kol Dam Shebetzva? He's already put a Kol Shehu, a smallest amount, the minimum amount on the Mizbeach, on the Chuda Shel Keren. Why does he have to put all the dam on his etzva till he empties out his etzva of all the dam? And here's where the Nefesh Tova suggests, based on Rashi and Yoma, that there's a difference between what's called Nesinas Dam, otherwise known as Matan Dam, and Hazas Dam. You remember we mentioned this? And he says the following, that with regard to Hazas...
Where are you reading?
This. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Eschatoi Demaskei. I didn't even tell you where I'm reading. Okay. What I need is a page that should say on a tough pay. On the top right, all the way on the right, it should say Tough Pay on it.
Tough Pay.
Maybe it's out of order, because I know if I have Tough Pay, you should have Tough Pay. I got it from you, Ben.
Yeah, it's one of my challenges, photocopying.
So it should say
Oath. Here's another copy of Tough Pay.
Oh, very good.
There you go. No, I have one. We all do now.
Okay, so you see, on that page, you'll see on the left column an Os Mem Aleph.
Yeah.
Okay. So first he asks his question, that's the Tzarech Iyun. And then we're going to drop down about five lines down. And he says that Hazas Mizbeach Hazav. Rashi says, Nosein Etzba Keneged Chuda Shel Keren V'Nosein Matana Arucha U'Meshucha. So you want to underline those words, Nosein Matana Arucha U'Meshucha. It sounds like he's really going like up and down, so to speak. Let's say, well, at least down, you know, a long distance, and he's stretching out the dam. You know, he's not just what's the word in English? Tapping? No, not tapping. How would you say this?
Poking.
Dabbing?
Dabbing.
Poking? Dabbing? It's not just a dab, D-A-B, right? It's not dab, but rather he's doing something called arucha, matana arucha, mishucha.
Smearing? He's smearing it?
Okay, but smearing it in the sense of up and down, or at least down. I'm not sure if he's going up and down, but down.
Yeah.
And it's a very long smearing.
There's something intuitive about the idea that he has his hand in use, and he has a pointed surface, so you can get the liquid off of your hand onto the surface because it's...
Because it's sharp.
Yeah, it like provides you with a place to wipe.
Maybe, so, right? I don't know. You'd have to do a scientific experiment.
It's vaguely similar to the wine elicitor. What's going on?
Okay.
But now it lost its similarity on this last one.
So he says the following, okay? Mashma l'chora. Rashi seems to indicate Shem Moshech etzbo al chud hamizbeach. Okay, so he's touching the Mizbeach and then he's stretching his hand down on the Chudosh al Mizbeach. So he quotes here a Beryl Soloveitchik who says the following. We have a sugya later on, And again, this we'll have to somehow figure out if we want to do it now or another time. But on Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph, Dei Magaluhu Ledam Hamizbeach Lo Havi Derech Hazah Uzrika. Maga Bamizbeach is what I mentioned to you before, that there's a direct contact between his finger with the dam in it and the Mizbeach. So the dam is going directly onto the Mizbeach. And to our chagrin, to our surprise, the Gemara says that's not considered Derech Hazah. So he quotes the Chazon Ish, who says the following, that there are two different laws over here. There's one law called Keren. In the law of Keren, the Torah only mentions V'nosan. Again, we quoted the pasuk. We can quote it again if we need to. V'nosan al karnos hamizbeach. But there's no mention of V'hiza. Loksiv hazah. It only says Nisina, and it doesn't say hazah. So when the Gemara on Daf Peches establishes that if you have a maga of the dam onto the mizbeach, so you directly touch the dam onto the mizbeach, that's not considered derech hazah. That's where the Gemara is talking about hazos. Hazos require a distance. But when we talk about v'nosan al karnos hamizbeach, there it means a direct contact. And he goes on in the next paragraph to quote a Rambam. The Rambam says, I'm going to move a little bit fast here because I want to get to a certain punchline. So the Rambam says that even in the case of Chatos, we need Hazah. That's not like the way we were understanding Rashi, based on Rashi and Yuma, that he's got Maga Dam B'Mizbeach. Shekosav ein b'chol karbonos karbon sheton hazoyas dam b'etzpa el chatos b'lvad. The Rambam opens up his discussion about chatos by saying that what's unique about chatos? Chatos requires etzpa. But again, he doesn't say nesina be'etzpa the way the Chazon Ish would have had it, but rather he says hazoyas adam be'etzpa. Unless, again, we could postulate a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam. Whereas Rashi, on the one hand, requires Nesina as a new category, not to be mistakenly identified with Hazoya. And Rashi and the Rambam, on the other hand, identifies Nesina as Hazoya. So the Rambam would absolutely require a certain distance between his finger and the dam that's flying onto the Mizbeach. And that's the way the Rambam has it, even in the case of Etzpa, even in the case of Etzpa, meaning Chatos. Whereas Rashi on the other hand says, Etzpa and Chatos, the Torah doesn't mention anything about Hazoya. And that's not fair to superimpose the requirement of Hazoya, but rather we read it as Nesina, and Nesina means Maga, Etzpa, Bamizbeach. So now we're moving on to page Tav Pei Aleph.
Just one thing, what does it say? Means only with the chatas?
Right, the only halach of etzba, as opposed to taking the dam and just throwing it from the mizrach onto the mizbeach, that requirement of etzba is unique and singular to chatas.
So all the other ones, you don't do that.
You do what's called zrika. But now, when the Rambam wants to contrast etzba in the case of chatas with all other zvachim, he according to the Rambam, according to Rashi, the way we saw Rashi, he should have said that in the case of chatas we require nesinas dam v'etzba. But the Rambam uses the word hazoyas dam be'etzba. There's no word in the Rambam that's not deliberate. If the Rambam says hazoya, the Rambam understood that the difference between the other zvachim and chatos is that where other zvachim don't require etzba, a chatos requires etzba, but they all require hazoya. Whereas Rashi seems to say that when it comes to etzba, we're not talking about hazoya, but we're talking about Moshech Etzbo al Chud HaMizbeach. His finger is on the Chud HaMizbeach, and Rashi's talking about a Meshicha, Arucha, U'Meshucha. Now, let's go back to our Braisa that we started with today on Daf Nun Gimel. The Braisa says, Mechala kol dam Shebe Etzba. Now, I think, and if you disagree with me, you're going to get murdered. No, I'm just joking. If you disagree with me, please disagree with me. But I think what he's saying here is that Rashi fits a lot of, the language of the Braisa would be more appropriate if you accept Rashi's sheet. Because again, the Braisa says, Machala kol dam shebe'etzva. So Rashi would interpret it thusly, that you need a matana, keneged arko shel keren, milamala lamata. You're going on the entire length of this edge, as we called it, the 90 degree angle, from on top, all the way to the bottom. And therefore Rashi calls it a matana arucha umeshucha, umeshucha. According to the Rambam, it's a little bit more difficult. The Rambam is saying that you need hazah. So what does it mean? Mechal adam shebe etzva. So he suggests that maybe he does hazah at the beginning of this process, according to the Rambam, and then afterwards he continues with some sort of a matana mishucha varucha. But amai tzorech lahazel, you know, what's this all about? In any event, in the next paragraph, if you're following me, he says the following. We have to go to another sugya, as I've said a million times over, until it's ad nauseum. You know, you got to know everything to know anything here. So we have another sugya now, on Daf Chaf Aleph. And there the Gemara establishes that with regard to the par of Yom HaKippurim, there's halacha of kol domo shel par, that you have to be makabel all the dam of the par. And he quotes the Brisker Rav, who says that with regard to the par, we have a very singular, very unique avoda, and that is shvicha shirayim. In other words, we skip all the other steps with regard to the par, and what we require is pure shvicha shirayim. And the pasuk says kol domo, that you need all the dam. He says mevuar, what we see from the sugya is dam hapar ton shi kaimenu bikulo din hakrova. And what he means is to say that the entire dam, all the volume of dam, requires a kium of hakrova in the case of par. And then he writes o zrika o shvicha shirayim. Get it? So that again, we'd have to see the sugya inside. Al pizeh Geish Lomar, the Kevan de Iso Vimenochos, the Shirayim Shebe Etzba Psulim, the Efshel Kaimbehem Shvicha Shirayim, is Lahachi Tzarch Lachalos as Kol Hadam Shebe Etzba, Kaimbo Din Zrika, Kadesh Lo Yishar Dam, Shalonasebo Din Hakrova. Now, I'm not sure of all the details here, Rabbo, so you're going to have to bear with me. But I think in general, just the milamala, as we say, you know, just on a very superficial level, what he's saying is that we have a problem. And the problem is because the Gemara establishes in Menachos that any leftover dam on his finger is posel. And therefore, if the mitzvah, for example, in the case of the par, will be shvicha shirayim, and he's got dam left over his fingers, he won't be able to be mekayim with that dam, shvicha shirayim. Because that dam is posel. So in order to avoid a situation where he'll be left with dam that's posel, which he can't use to be mekayim the shvicha shirayim, he should use up all the dam in his finger, and then, again, he may have still dam in the mizrach, which is fine for shvicha shirayim, because it was never used. It never came in contact with his etzpa. But as far as any dam that came in contact with his etzpa, that dam becomes posel if it's not immediately placed on the mizbeach. So again, getting back to our question, why is it that the braisa requires sheyechala kol dam shebe etzpa? And the answer would be that based on the sugi menachos, if he's not mechala kol dam shebe etzpa, he doesn't use up all the dam in his etzpa, the leftover dam will be possible, and it cannot be used for shvichas shirayim. So there's no akrova of this dam, and that's a problem because the Gemara establishes on Daf Chof Hey Kol Domo that we need that all the dam, whether it's part of the dam for the zrika on the mizbeach, part of the dam for shvichal gabi yisod, but all the dam is used up. And if he leaves dam on his etzpa and he doesn't do a continuous zrika, or in this case matan domin, with what we called Arucho Meshucha, he's going to be left with dam on his etzpa. What's the status of dam on his etzpa? It's possible. And in the next paragraph, he says, okay, I'm just trying to figure out how to schedule my time over here. You know what? Again, I apologize. I don't know how we can fit this all into 1 hour. So let's leave this for the side for a moment. And let's go back to our Gemara. And I hope you still have the place in the Gemara. The Gemara should be up to my Rebbe, Umay Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon. Everybody have that? It's after the two dots. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon? Disanya. So we have this machlokas recorded in a brisa. The first sheet of the brisa is Rebbe sheet. The domim el yonim nitonim michut hasikra lamala, v'domim atachtonim nitonim michut hasikra lamata. So where is he putting the domim of the chatos? Let's call it domim el yonim. It's a chatos. It could be also an ola in the case of an oaf, but let's talk first about chatas behema. So chatas behema goes el yonim, and there's no mention of what? There's no mention of the keren, because where is he putting the dam? On the mizbeach itself. Okay. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon Omer Bamed Varma Murim. When do you apply this principle of Domim El Yonim, that Domim El Yonim can be placed on the Mizbeach itself, above the Chut HaSikra? That's only Be'olas Ha'of. Now it seems that Rebbe was discussing both Olas Ha'of and Chatas Behema. And in both those cases you need El Yonim, and Rebbe is happy with the Mizbeach itself. You don't have to go up to the Keren. Comes along Rabbi Lozer Rebbe Shimon, he says, wait a minute, in the case of Olas Ha'of, I'm willing to accept that you put the dam on the Kir HaMizbeach. But Avol Bechatos Behema, the other case that requires El Yonim, he atzma einanasis el al gufa shel keren. This is Rabbi Lozer Rebbe Shimon who requires that the mitzvah of keren requires the keren itself. Now again, would Rabbi Lozer Rebbe Shimon accept b'di'eved if you did it below the keren, on the top half of the Mizbeach, the Kira Mizbeach? I don't know. That's what we discussed before with the Rambam. But one thing I do know is that Rebbe certainly requires l'chatchila gufa shel keren. Rebbe says no. It's a Kira Mizbeach is fine. If it's the upper half of the Mizbeach, that's okay. So now the Gemara wants to know, what's the source for the sheet of Rebbe? Oh, Rabbi Avo, my time of the Rebbe. Why does Rebbe assume that any part of the upper part of the Mizbeach is fine? You don't need Keren or Gufo Shel Keren on the Rosh HaMizbeach, on the top of the Mizbeach, for the Nesinas Dam Chatos Behema. The Siv, because the Pasuk in Yechezkel, which foretells the third Beis HaMikdash. And with regard to the third Beis HaMikdash, Yechezkel says something that makes no sense if you take it literally. We're going to have to reinterpret the words of Yechezkel and Navi, because he's describing the midos of the Mizbeach in the third Beis HaMikdash. And this is chapter Mem Gimel of Yechezkel. And he says, V'ha-har-el, okay, Har-el is the Mizbeach, Arba Amos. Now, this doesn't make any sense. The Mizbeach is much more than four Amos. And then he writes, Ume Hariel Ulamala. And the next part of the pasuk says, Hakronos Arba. So he's saying the following: the height of the Mizbeach, if you translate this pasuk literally, is four Amos. And from those four Amos, there are four Kronos, which are all on the same height, four Amos from the ground. So the Gemara asks as a rhetorical question, how do we understand this pasuk? Arba Amos hu dahavya? Is it possible that the height of the Mizbeach is four Amos? Or maybe the Rochav of the Mizbeach is four Amos? We know from other prophecies, and even Yechezkel himself prophesies, that the height of the Mizbeach is 10 Amos, the width of the Mizbeach is 28 Amos. So what then does the pasuk mean? Yechezkel says it's going to be Arba Amos. Amar Rav Ado Bar Ava, and this is going to give us the sheet of Rebbe. The pasuk in Yechezkel is not referring to a height of the Mizbech that's 4 amos from the ground, but rather Makom Kronos Arba, that the Kronos themselves take up 4 amos on the top of the Mizbech. Now what does that mean? We know that the Keren is only 1 amma high. So what does it mean, 4 amos? So that 1 amma is a square amma. So if you multiply 1 times 4, you end up with 4 amos. The Gemara is not happy with that either. Why? Because Makom Kronos Arba Havya? Can you really argue that the Kronos add 4 amos on top of the Mizbeach? They really only grab 2 amos. I mean, every Keren, insofar as it has a side going this way and a side going that way, is only going to take away from the Gag HaMizbeach 2 amos, not 4 amos. Now, it's the fact that it's true that the Keren is squared off, but that doesn't in any way take away from the Mizbeach. What takes from the Gag HaMizbeach. What takes away from the Gag HaMizbeach is 1 amma here and 1 amma here, on this direction, on that. Again, multiply that by 4. And that's called 2 ammas. Ela ema. So now we have a new interpretation. We're not talking about the tosafos of 4 ammas on the Gag HaMizbeach, but rather Rishus Kronos Arba. That the word Keren implies that for 4 ammas, underneath the Keren, there's Rishus Kronos. Remember, we used this term many times, but we didn't know where it came from. This is the source of the term Rishus Kronos. So the Rishus of the Keren dips down below the Keren 4 amos.
Is that?
And that's going to take us to the Chut HaSikra.
Right. But is that extension considered the Chuda?
No, he's not talking about the Chuda. Uh-huh. Because again, we're talking about Rebbe. Well, actually, there are 2 shitas in Rebbe, but we're going according to that sheet in Rebbe, which is called Mikan Umikan. In other words, that we're extending the Keren, not the sheet of Rebbe that requires a different definition of Keren, which we called Chuda Shel Keren. So he writes here that Gova Arba Amos Elu Yeshem Keren Lechol Dinov V'Nitan Laseisham Matonos. Meaning, going down from the Keren all the way till the Chut HaSikra, that's the top half of the Mizbeach, and that's going to be a distance of 4 amos.
So that's expanding the halachic implications.
Excellent, and that's why the Braisa uses the term Rishus Kronos Arba. And there's no mention here in this brisa, check me out on that, of Chuda Shel Mizbeach, Chuda Shel Keren. That's why I think this brisa reflects the other shita of the Amoraim, namely that Rebbe requires nothing more than an area below the Keren on the Kira Mizbeach, which is called an extension of the Rishus of the Keren. Tanan Hasam. Now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Masechta Midos, Chut Shel Sikra. This is going to tell us a little bit about the structure of the Mizbeach. There was a Chut Shel Sikra, some sort of red string. Chogro was like a belt that surrounded the Mizbeach, Be'emtza, in the middle of the height of the Mizbeach. So if the height of the Mizbeach, we said, was 10 amos, therefore this Chut HaSikra is 5 amos from the ground of the Azura. And what's the purpose of this Chut HaSikra that formed a belt around the middle of the Mizbeach? Lahavdil bein dom elyonim l'domim hatachtonim. So that's the separation between, let's say, Chatos Behema and Olas Ha'of and all the other Korbanos. Minani mili. From whence do we derive this conclusion that there was such a thing as a chut that separated the two parts of the Mizbeach, the Elyonim, from the Tachtonim? Amrav Acha, Barav Ktina. This we derive from something called a Reshet. And that Reshet is otherwise called a Michbar. So we're looking again towards the end of Sefer Shmos with regard to the Mishkan, and the Torah describing the Mizbeach says V'yasisalo michbar Masa Reshes. Well, the Torah is pretty outspoken here. You need a michbar. What is a michbar? It's a masa reshes, some sort of a net. And the Torah says it's made of nechoshes. Okay, it's a beautiful net made of copper. And the Torah says, V'yasisa al reshes arba tabos, v'nasato sotachas karchav hamizbeach milomalo. Milamato, excuse me. So we have a whole bunch of new terminology here in the Torah. We have something called a michbar. The Torah itself tells us that the michbar is called a maisa reshes, made of nechoshes. And now we have another word that the Torah is adding here, and that's called a karchav, the karchav hamizbeach milamato. And the Torah then goes ahead and says, v'hoysa hareshes ad chatzi hamizbeach. So again, we're making a kind of a, I don't know if you want to call it a garment, so to speak, that's covering the Mizbeach, up to half of the Mizbeach. And Rashi says here that it's like a kavra. A kavra in English is a sieve. How do you spell that? S-I-E-V-E. And Rashi identifies this michbar, which goes around the Mizbeach, almost like a beged that the Mizbeach is wearing, on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, up till the middle point of the Mizbeach, that's called a michbar. And that michbar, Rashi says, would separate from the Nesinas Dam Elyonim, in those two cases, to the Nesinas Dam HaTachtonim. Now, all this is only with regard to the Mishkan. In the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no michbar, there was no reshet. These things didn't exist. So how did they accomplish the same goal? Meaning they needed this net. We're going to discuss why they needed this net in the Mishkan. In the Migdash, now, and that net, that michbar, would serve a double function. It would tell you exactly where the middle of the Mizbeach came out.
Isn't that analogous to the Chut HaSichron?
Oh, so we're going to have to suggest here that in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, where they didn't have this michbar, they didn't have this reshes, instead, how did they accomplish the same goal of separating the top for the Dam Elyonim from the bottom? And the answer would have to be the Chut HaSichra. So Omar Rav Acha Bar Rav Kitina Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'hoysa ha-reshes ad chatzi ha-mizbeach. So this reshes that was around the Mizbeach and covered the Mizbeach would reach up until half of the height of the Mizbeach. And the Torah's makpid that this reshes should reach chatzi ha-mizbeach. And in so doing, it accomplishes another goal. And that is to split the Mizbeach into two halves. Shatora nosna mechitza, this karkav, as we mentioned before, is a mechitza. Mechitza means a dividing point. Lahavdil ben adom elyonim vidomim hatachton. That's all in the Mishkan. And what replaced the function of the karchav in the Beis HaMikdash, that would be the Chut HaSichra. So now, Rabos, I'd like you to pick up these pages again. And again, we're going to make a note on page Tov Pe'alf. We only got up to the Ulam HaGriz. That's what we, so that, you know, we'll have to see if we can come back to. And the whole discussion that I want to come back to, again, B'li Neder, is going to be the difference between V'nosan and V'hiza, you know, those two concepts in the Sina, which where there's the Maga Dam on the Gufa Shel Mizbeach, as opposed to Hazoya, which requires throwing from a distance. And now we want to take a look at Mem Beis, which is on Tof Pei Beis. Now, as we said before, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon agrees that there is such a thing, there's such a recognized, valid entity called Nesinas Dam on the Mizbeach itself, on the Kira Mizbeach, even for Damim Elyonim. However, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon limits that to the case of Olas Ha'of. But as far as Chatas Behem is concerned, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon requires Gufa Shel Keren. Rebbe, on the other hand, holds that in all Elyonim, which means even in the case of Chatas Behema, all you need is the top part of the Mizbeach. Now, there's a sugya later on Daf Samachei Omer Aleph, which records a machlokes tanoim regarding Olas Ha'ov. And the Nefesh Tom wants to see how to reconcile that machlokes with what we saw here in our sugya about Olas Ha'ov. And the Tanakhama there is quoted as saying, with regard to Of, again requires Malika, and the mitzvah is Bechol Chelek Ha'Elyon Shalom Mizbech Ad Chut HaSikra. That's according to the Tanakhama. We'll explain that in just a minute. We're more interested in the second opinion against the Tanakhama. That's Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yaakov. They say Kol Atzma Ein Nases Ela Barosh HaMizbech. Now, Rabosa, you're going to have to help me out here, because I'm not sure what they mean. Again, we're talking about Olas Ha'Of. Olas Ha'Of, if you recall, requires that the Kohen hold on to the Of, and the Dam goes from the Of, from the Tzavara Of, directly onto the Mizbeach. And now we have two Tanoim who are saying that Kol Atzma Ein Nasis Ela Barosh HaMizbeach. So the physics here of it is very complicated, because if I understand correctly, and again, what I'm telling you now is with limited liability, it sounds to me like according to these two Tanoim, where is the Kohen standing when he does the Mitzvah Adam? Next to the Mizbeach. It says, Kol Asmei Nasis Ela Birosh HaMizbeach.
He must be on that ledge in order to reach it.
It sounds to me, again, what I'm telling you might be totally crazy, but it sounds to me like, and we're going to have to go through the Sugin Samachay to see if we can clarify this, that he's actually standing, the Kohen, on top of the Mizbeach. Somehow he's going to lean over, he's going to do some sort of gymnastics act over here, in order to do the Mitzui on the upper half of the Mizbeach. But he himself is situated on the top of the Mizbeach, but Rosh HaMizbeach. And those two Tanoim, Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Eliezer, they derive it from a pasuk, the Sivu Molak veHiktir, the Nimtza deMoko Maliku Mitzui. So where is the dam actually going? Where is it being squeezed onto the Kir HaSamach leMoko Maktar? Okay, so it's on the Kir HaMizbeach. He says Ulechora Rabbi Nechemi of Rabbi Eliezer. Hoda haTorah nosna machitza ledamim, haynu rak lechatos behema, velo liolas haof. Dehi nasis rak berosh hamizbeach mamish. So it sounds to me like what he's assuming, which is not the way I understood it, is that not only is the Kohen, in the case of olas haof, standing on top of the Mizbeach, but he's actually doing the Mitzui on the Gag HaMizbeach, I guess on the Keren itself. And therefore I take that back. What I meant to say is, just one second, L'chora HaTorah Nosna Machitza L'Domim Hainu Rak L'Chatas. Oh, okay, good. So what I said was not totally off base. That according to these two Tanoim, the Mechitza L'damim was only as far as the Chatas Ha'of, Chatas Behema is concerned. So with regard to Behema, these two Tanoim recognize and validate a Nesinas Dam on the Kir HaMizbeach, below the Kronos. And that reflects the Shita of Rebbe. But as far as Olas Ha'of is concerned, again, if I read this correctly, he's saying that it has to be done on the Rosh HaMizbeach Mamish, which I think he means on the Kronos HaMizbeach. That's where the Mitzui is. And again, all this hopefully will help us plug this all into our sugya, which assumes that according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, in the case of Olas Ha'of, there will be a mitzvah on the Kir HaMizbeach, on the side of the Mizbeach. And even Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon agreed to that. This braisa that reflects the shita of two Tanoim, I think, is going according to Rebbe, who says that you don't need Kronos HaMizbeach, but now we're saying the following, that that's only with regard to Chatas Behema. We just finished saying here, and now we're suing in Daf Nun Gimel, and according to Rebbe, whether or not you're talking about Chatas Behema, or you're talking about Olas Ha'ov, all you need is Elyonim on the Kira Mizbeach, the top half above the Chutas Sikra. So that's true, according to Rebbe, for both Chatas Behema and Olas Ha'ov. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, was the one who said, okay, I agree with you in the case of Olas Ha'ov, but I disagree with you in the case of Chatas Behema, where we need Gufa Shel Keren. Now we have a whole other shita, which again is distinguishing between Chatas Behema and Olas Ha'ov in the opposite direction, as if to say that with regard to Olas Ha'ov Dafka, we need Rosh Hashol Mizbeach, which I think means the Kronos, if I understand this correctly. Only with regard to Chatas Behema do we accept the shita of Rebbe that you can do the Nesinas Dam on the side of the Mizbeach, the Kira of the Mizbeach, above the Chut HaSikra. But then, maybe there's still light at the end of the tunnel, because in the next paragraph he writes that you should take a look in Chidushei Maron Rizal Levi on Hilchas Psuli HaMukdashim, and he writes the Chaluk Hadar Ablazim Reb Shimon Chatos Behema Eina Nases Ela Begufa Shal Ker Mehodi Ola Sa'of Nases Rak B'Rosh HaMizbeach. So what's going on over here? I don't get it. He's telling you that according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, we require Gufo Shel Keren for Chatas Behema. What about Olas Ha'of? So I thought Olas Ha'of, you know, you would drop down to the side of the Mizbeach. But yet he says, Nasis B'Rosh HaMizbeach. Wait, just give me one more minute. And he says the following. The Din Gufo Shel Keren, that which Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon requires Gufo Shel Keren, who mishum shehakeren bilchud he mokom matan damim dechatas behema. So where on the mizbech is the exact precise location for the matan damim of a chatas behema? According to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, that's the gufa shel keren. Ach, okay. Here's where I need your help. Ach, din rosh hamizbech be olas ha'of. According to Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Eino din makom dam matan damim. So what is this precondition, this condition of Rosh HaMizbeach? That's not as far as locating the place for the matan damim. El din b'maisa havoda.
Like the chalos, we talked earlier about the chalos of the maisa versus the actual act, and it's like splitting it into the act and the...
But Rabosa, is it possible, again, what I'm telling you now might be totally, you know, the those who know Kutchum will laugh me out of the theater here, but is it possible that what the Brisker Rav means by Maisa Voda is the location of the Kohen? That the Kohen, who's doing this Malika, and he's doing the Mitzu Yadam and the Azos Adam, he's located in the on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. But as far as the Matan Damim is concerned, the Matan Damim could be on the side of the Mizbeach.
I mean, he's leaning over.
And that would reconcile these two Tanoim with what we saw in our Sugya, because we saw in our Sugya that Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon was Moda to Rebbe that you can use the Kira Mizbeach as far as Olas Ha'of is concerned. In Chatas Behema, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon argues vehemently against Rebbe and requires Gufa Shel Keren. But in Olas Ha'of, he was molded to Rebbe. Well, how do you square with these two Tanoim? Again, it could be that they're presenting a third Shita, Rabbi Eliezer and... Oh, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, sorry, I said Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Nechemya, they say that as far as Olas Ha'of, we need Rosh HaMizbeach. So perhaps the Brisker Rav is trying to reconcile this and saying that Enoch Inami, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Nechemya are at one with Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. And they would say the following, that as far as Chatas Behema is concerned, you need Gufa Shel Keren. And as far as Olas Behema I'm sorry, Olas Ha'of is concerned, excuse me. We have two dinim. We have one din as far as the Makom Avodah, and another din as far as the Matan Damim is concerned. The two Makomos here. There's a Makom Avodah, and there's Makom Matan Damim. And when the Tanoim said that the requirement for Olas Ha'of was Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, they weren't talking about the Matan Damim. The Matan Damim here, even according to Rav Zev Shimon, could be on the Kira Mizbeach Lamala above the Chut HaSikra. What's Rosh HaMizbeach? That's a din, not in the Makom Matan Damim, but in the Makom Maisa Avoda, which means the location of what? Of whom, I should say? Of the Kohen himself. I don't know. Again, it's getting late, so I'm just going to try to chaperim one more paragraph and see if this can bear me out. He says, Ochiya kemi perakama. Oh, wonderful, another sugya. And Daf Yudam and Beis. In my Ian Shir at 11:45, I'm up to Daf Vav. I didn't get anywhere near Daf Yud. You know, then they'll have to wait till after Sukkot, probably. He says, Darshinon Gabi Chatas Behema Osa. Do you remember the word Osa that we spent a lot of time on? Osa Domo Lamala. The Ain Domo Shal Acher Lamala. Mukmina, the Gemara interprets that Kirab Lozer of Shimon, the Chatas Behema Nasis Chak Al, I would add the words Gufa Shel Keren. The aims of Mokom Hazrika Shel Olas Ha'of. Right, the Gemara there is talking exclusively about Chatas Behema requiring Gufa Shel Keren, and that's derived from the Pasuk Osa. And it even excludes the case of Olas Ha'of. Now, Olas Ha'of is very similar to Chatas Behema. Those are the only two korbanos that require the Elyon of the Mizbeach. But now, we're saying that there's some special halacha in Chatas Behema. And according to Rabbi Lozer of Shimon, that's Gufa Shel Keren. So to what extent do we equate or gather together as a couple, you know, Olas Behema with Chatas... I'm sorry, Olas Ha'of with Chatas Behema. So he says, "Lechora, my lo komer hashas ha'mani, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yaakov, the Yomer Olas Ha'of, ena nasis ela berosh ha'mizbeach." And the answer is, "Did who nami? Even according to these tanoim, hai makom lechud v'hai makom lechud." Umuchach de l'Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yaakov, makom matan domin shel Olas Ha'of shovel l'makom matan domin shel chatas behema. So he's going back to Rebbe Shita. Shehu ad chatzi hamizbeach. V'hod ba'inin rosh hamizbeach. Udin b'makom avodah v'lo b'makom nesinas dom shalem. So it seems to me that this paragraph could possibly reflect what we were saying, but with one major difference. We were assuming that this was a method of reconciling these two Tanoim, Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, with the sheet of Rabbi Lozer Rav Shimon, right, the Ravash. But no, he's saying this. These two Tanoim reflect the sheet of Rebbe. What do they mean that in Olas Ha'of there's requirement of Rosh HaMizbeach? That's a din of Makom Avodah. But he doesn't contradict necessarily what we suggested, that Makom Avodah means the location of the Kohen himself. And he says the Nafkemina is what the Brisker Rav says, that if he does a shinui, which means that if he doesn't go up to the Rosh HaMizbeach, HaKol Modim B'Nesina Lamala Shenosna Lamala Shaloki Mitzvason. So what does this mean? Shaloki Mitzvason means Shaloba Rosh HaMizbeach. I'm trying to figure out, is he talking about Olas Ha'of now? Hakol Modim. Okay, this is the sugya of Nesina Shalobim Koma on Daf Chav Vav Chav Zayin. Hakol Modim Benitonim Lemala Shenosam Lemala Shaloka Mitzvason. What does it mean, Shaloka Mitzvason? Lo Yasvenu Lo Nechliku El Benitonim Lemala Shenosam Lemata. Shenosan Lamato, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yasfenu, Rabbi Shimon Omer Yasfenu. Hainu the Rabbi Shimon Svir Leit Lo Amrinin Kalte Mizbeach Bizrika Shalobim Koma V'yocholasof Es Hadam V'lachzor V'lizro Kevon Deloch Shiva Zrika. In other words, according to Rav Shimon, this Rika doesn't register at all. And it's as if he wasn't Zorik. So the Dam is still in the same exact state, and he could just collect it and do the Zrika in the right way. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that once he puts the Dam on the Zbech Lamata, that passels the Dam, that's called Kulto Mizbeach, and therefore he can no longer repeat the Nesinas Dam, because the Dam is possible. Hashel Dvarov, Im Nosan Michatas Behema Shalal Gavi Kronos, if you're like Rabbi Shimon, and the Chatas Behema requires Al Gabi HaKronos, and he didn't do so, Yasfenu Kedin Zrika Shalom B'mkoma, Avle Mitzah Shalom B'Rosh HaMizbeach, L'Rabbi Nechemiah V'Rabbi Lozman Ben Yaakov, Lo Yasfenu Mishum Da'avi B'mkoma, El Shalom K'mitzvaso, V'Kalte Mizbeach L'Kuli Almo. Alright, Rabbi Lozman, we'll stop here. Yeah, Ben?
Is there any chance that Rosh HaMizbeach means from Kutas Yibra and above? It doesn't mean mamash on top, but rather the upper element, the upper
it's
part.
Hard for me to accept that. I'll tell you why. Because he's coming to contrast Chatos Behema with Olas Ha'ov. Mm-hmm. Correct? And he's saying that with regard to Olas Ha'ov, there's a sheet amongst the Tanoim that require Rosh HaMizbeach. I mean, if he's talking about the Kronos, for example, then that would be the same Alocha as Chatos Ha'ov.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
But the Brisket Rav is coming up with this chiluk between the Makom Matan Domim and the Makom Maisa Avoda, and that's something that has to be fleshed out, has to be understood. Okay, there we both. So I wish everyone a good day. And I'm sorry if the sug is challenging. I'm trying slowly to put it all together. I don't have it all put together in my mind because you have to know so many different sugyas at once. But we'll still try to plow ahead in this issue.